Ooh, Pete, that's some serious music. Some NFL draft music. We
very
like it.
Very nice.
It's really good. Not working there? All right, well, Pete will come check it out. We're covering the NFL draft town here in Chicago. The first three picks are in tonight. A surprise, the San Diego Chargers take Joey Bosa, defensive end. Now the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock, and we will find out who they pick with the number four. We're here all night till 9 o'clock, 312-981-7200. In studio with me, my old partner Jim Kaufman from the Kaufman & Kaufman podcast. Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
And Israel Adonijah. Izzy Adonijah has played 10 years for the Chicago Bears at defensive end, and now is obviously still in Chicago with the Israel Adonijah Foundation. He's got a big big event tomorrow, Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue. It's tomorrow from 11 to 5. Israel Adonijah, great to have you
here.
Hey,
thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
Does this bring you back memories? You were actually undrafted as
I was undrafted, but draft day was, it was intense. I remember we were, had two or three teams that were interested and said, hey, late in the draft, they potentially were going to pick us up. And as it went on, they said other needs kind of came up, and we ended up going undrafted and ended up signing with the Cleveland Browns.
Did you do it just like in the what we've seen in reality shows and the movies? You get your family together and you're all waiting and the calls come in. How did you celebrate drafting?
I didn't really celebrate. I was in Saline, Michigan, so I was training right up to, when I was going to find out where I was going. So I was in Saline, Michigan. It was just my agent and I really just sitting at his house. And
now, when you got to the sixth round or so, do you sort of start to feel like maybe you'd be okay if you didn't get drafted, because then you're going to be a free agent and you potentially have choices, or were you feeling like, hey, I want to get drafted? Or?
I was just, for me, it was just about getting on a team. We're such underdogs. I've only played Canadian football, so we were such underdogs. The thing was, like, drafted or not, my goal was to get on a team, learn quickly, and get a practice squad spot, or hopefully make the 53.
Well, this is a big night, obviously, in Chicago. I mean, this is crazy to have the NFL draft here in town. I was just remarking on all the jerseys that you see walking on Michigan Avenue. Fans from all over the country. For you, do you get excited that the NFL is here in Chicago?
Yeah, I'll say it. What's exciting is just kind of having the whole brotherhood back together. I mean, the guys that I've seen today. The NFL had the Man of the Year luncheon today, and it was, everybody was there, just like, that's like a time capsule. So it was just great seeing all the guys, everybody coming together, everyone texts, hey, I'm in Chicago. What's wrong with the weather?
The Dallas Cowboys selected Ezekiel Elliott, running back from Ohio State, the number four pick.
Displaying his midriff.
We have to ask you. You're the fashion guru here. Let's talk about what's on the field.
Will that be part of the style event at Saks tomorrow?
Left that. That will not be at Saks tomorrow. I promise you that.
What's he doing? I guess he's going to grab. We're talking about.
That's exactly what it is. To grab extra attention. But leave it on the field. He's such a talent that was unnecessary. But he's a young kid. He's having fun out there, and enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you, a guy who I always remember for the way his outfit at the draft was Joakim Noah.
Yeah,
you guys remember
course.
He wore
yeah.
that seersucker suit, and he had his long hair out.
Yeah.
Irreverent look. And I think a lot of people said, oh, geez, this is going to be brutal.
Yeah.
And he turned into one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
So, you could bounce back.
Izzy, let's talk about the Bears. Obviously the Chicago Bears, have had some success with the draft. You've seen, it was fun. It was watching ESPN do the best drafts of all time. The number one, they say, of course, was Walter Payton. They talked about Wilbur Marshall getting picked in the 1984 draft. They talked about Richard Dent in that class being one of the best classes ever. Do you pay attention to football in that way as a former player? Do you say, are you a student of the statistics and where people got drafted?
No, not really. I don't watch. Even while I played, I never watched the draft, especially because I was a guy that was, there was always somebody coming for my spot every
You're
year.
Right.
So my focus
didn't want to know.
I was training. At the end of the day, I knew they were going to draft someone high at that defensive line position that was going to threaten for my spot. So I didn't know anything about the person. I came into camp every year, ready to work.
Well, your position, defensive end, you're right. There's always this push in the, it doesn't matter where in the draft, but you're going to stockpile defensive end, defensive linemen. I mean, is it tough as a veteran, especially someone who it may not be a starter, who's kept on the team, who's gritted it out? Is this a tough time in April when the team goes, we're going to pick up defensive linemen?
You know, I mean, I think you always expect that to happen. Like, we know every year they're going to bring in a lot of fresh young legs, and they're looking for a guy who just it clicks and turns on and is going to be kind of like a surprise, you know. And you got to kind of just focus on what you do. You know, what really was the difference for me is I played everything on the line. I played end, I played the nose, right. I played the three technique. So I was able to, hey, they bring in a young guy, I was able to shift my position to do something else and really be that swing guy throughout my career.
Did it help you that you played in one system? I mean, Lovie Smith's system was a cover two, and you learned the ins and outs, so you already have a leg up on a rookie who's coming in.
Absolutely. And there is something to be said about being in one place so long and playing that, you know, 4-3, that same gap attack defense for so long. And, guys come in, you got to kind of figure it out quickly in really a short amount of time. And then they got to start cutting people. And the guys who can do more that have that value, you know, they stick.
Izzy Adonijay's in studio. Jim Kaufman's in studio as well from BeachwoodReporter.com. Jim, what are you looking at in this draft? I mean, we've seen the top four. There was a lot of talk. Like, we saw a ton of mock drafts that said Ezekiel Elliott, he may drop to the Bears. He's gone already. Joey Bosa moved up, and they had him pretty much with the Cowboys the entire time, but he goes to the Chargers. Does any of this stuff affect what might happen with the Chicago Bears at 11?
Well, I would say this. Here's what I'm doing this evening in the top 10. What I'm doing is I'm rooting for as many offensive players to go. Because it's funny, I think you and I talked about this in the past. Look, when we as Bears fans, we care about the defense. And when it went south in a hurry a couple years ago where they decided to go in a different direction and forget that. So my rooting interest here at this point in these first 10 picks, more offensive guys leaving more defensive guys for the Bears to choose from, and then let's go with that. So,
you know, I had a question. I mean, it's interesting. Because the Bears obviously are playing a 3-4. There's a premium on outside linebackers and speed.
Yeah.
When we hear that as fans and we keep hearing speed on the edge, what does that mean? I mean, as a player who's played, it's obvious, the general obvious, okay, he's a fast player. But for an outside linebacker, what do you need to know playing in the 3-4?
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, guys who can cover, you know, sideline to sideline, not let the edges get captured. I mean, and you know, I mean, you talk about 3-4 being speed. I mean, we always felt like we had that in the defense we played in. I mean, we had a front. And speed is always a fast defense is one that has the guys up front, the big men. You see them hustling and running. And if they're setting that tempo, then you know the linebackers are there. You know that the secondary's there. You know, so having guys across the board that, like, all hats to the ball carrier. And you know, that really sets it, you know. And we'll see.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, and we'll go to a break after this. You know, what, like Jim just said, you know, to watch a defense go south so quick, right? and it was a coaching change, and it was a scheme change a little bit. But I mean, I said this with the Bulls, too, that, you know, they became less of a defensive player without Coach Tibbs there, but they were all the same players.
Yeah.
How important is it for the scheme and the coaches when it comes to a defense?
Well, it's important because the defense, you have to be able to utilize the talent you have. I don't care, like, how great the player is. He has tools in his skill set.
So you got to know that, right?
You know, and if you put him in a position that does not mesh with his tools, he's not going to make those plays. Now, the same player, you put him in a situation that allows him to do what he does well every down. I mean,
have you been in situations? I mean, you played 10 years with the Chicago Bears. You played a couple other teams. But have you been in situations where you feel like you have a skill or a tool that the coach is not recognizing or putting you in positions where you're like, I don't catch the ball?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, I've been the drop guy. So I was always got to go, you know, to the drop and drop into the zone and cover in the flat. Listen, I'm like 6 foot six.
You're a lot of things, but maybe not pass coverage.
I want to rush, you know, and I loved rushing over the guard. I felt like I had a mismatch there, you know, with, you know, shorter arms, you know, guards, you know. So, you know, when situations, hey, I want to line over the guard, they're like, no, we're going to put a different play over there. I was like, oh, man. I would love the opportunity. I loved rushing inside as well.
All right, the pick is in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got the fifth pick. They're coming up to stage pretty soon. Okay, so let's take a quick break, and we'll check in with Adam Hogue, who's at the Auditorium Theater. He's down in Drafttown. Izzy Adonijay is here. Jim Kaufman. Izzy's got his Draft Your Style event tomorrow at Saks Fifth Avenue here on Michigan Avenue. tomorrow from 11 to 5. We'll talk more about that before we let you go.
Beautiful.
The Jaguars are coming up to the podium, so why don't we just wait 1 second before we go to break just to hope it's an offensive player. But I think I know who it's
going to be.
Probably not.
I got to say, I like the beard that you got going.
But yours. Yeah. I only hope to someday even begin to approach the style of the Israel Adonis beard.
Yeah, we got a brother.
All right, the pick is in. It's Jalen Ramsey, corner from Florida State. We knew that was going to happen. Jacksonville sort of had their sights on him the whole time. So the top five picks are in. We'll see what happens as the Bears are at 11. It's NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. It's NFL draft night in Chicago, down at Draft Town. The draft is going swimmingly, I guess, as we wait for the Bears at number 11. To download here on WGN Radio, I'm Justin Kaufman. This is NFL draft coverage sponsored by the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians. Izzy Adonijay in studio, former Chicago Bear defensive end, defensive lineman, I guess, because you play everything, right?
Exactly.
Played for the Bears for 10 years. Jim Kaufman's also here from BeachwoodReporter.com. Let's bring in Adam Hogue. Adam is down at the theater. Adam Hogue from WGN Sports, you know, of course, covers the Chicago Bears. Adam, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
All right. So with the first five picks, I mean, pretty much, you know, that we knew that four of those guys were going to go. What's the...
I think this is... it's played out a little bit surprising so far, other than the first two picks. Obviously, we knew Jared Goff, Carson Wentz were coming off the board, but the Chargers going with Joey Bosa at number three. I don't know how many people saw that coming. The Ohio State defensive end. You know what I love about what they did here, though? Joey Bosa was productive the moment he stepped on campus at Columbus. Just racked up the sacks, racked up the tackles for loss. The Chargers trusted the tape here. That's what they did. And they get a young guy who's still only 20 years old and a lot of upside. I love that pick. The Cowboys go with Ezekiel Elliott at number four. I think it's just, you know, a lot of people say don't take a running back that early. Boy, Elliott's really good. He's the closest thing to a complete running back that you can have in the draft. And the Cowboys need to go back to running the football, I think. I think they missed DeMarco Murray last year. So I like that pick as well for them. And then, you know, if you're the Jaguars and Jalen Ramsey, the very talented cornerback out of Florida State, he's still sitting there. I don't think the Jaguars ever thought in a million years Ramsey would be there for them. So they just take the best player available, and their defense just got better.
Great too. I watched him play. He was a stud at Florida State. Okay, so Adam, what does it mean? What's it mean for the Chicago Bears? I mean, how is this? How are the first five picks affected what we might see from the Bears at 11?
Well, first and foremost, the guy that I think is the best fit for the Bears in this draft is DeForest Buckner. The defensive end out of Oregon, it fits a position of need. He's so talented. I have him number one on the Bears' big board, and he's still out there. So, that's good right now, but you still have five more picks to get through before the Bears are on the
clock.
And
Baltimore is on the clock right now, and their pick is in, and they had their eyes on Buckner as well.
They do. They also have a big need on their offensive line, however. And one of the most bizarre developments I've ever seen on draft day is unfolding right now. Right before the Los Angeles Rams went on the clock here about 50 minutes ago, a video started going around on Twitter of Laremy Tunsil, allegedly Laremy Tunsil, smoking out of a mask bong.
Wow.
It's amazing. I mean, I've obviously never seen that before on draft day.
Yeah, and you don't know if it, you can't. It's tough on a night like this. You know, no one's looking in. But that they had him early on as being the number one pick before all the quarterbacks were changing. All right. Ronnie Stanley of the Notre Dame.
So Tunsil is falling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Adam? Yeah.
So, Adam, let me ask you that. I mean, if he falls, I mean, this guy is a blue-chip talent. I mean, they had him at one point, you know, projected to be the number one pick overall. Do character issues keep him from, say, a Chicago Bears pick at 11?
Well, here's what I want to know right now, Justin, and we're probably not going to know until we get through the night and teams actually start talking, and who knows if they'll even touch the subject. I don't know that they will.
They don't know enough about it, right?
Well, but here's the thing. Do they know? Is this video out? You know, NFL teams, Izzy, you know this.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a ton of work on these
and
guys.
Looking into the guys, yeah. And character is more of an issue these days than it really has ever been. It's a big deal, what a guy's going to do.
Mm. Right. So it's possible teams already maybe know about this video. I'll tell you what they do know about. Another weird thing that happened with Laremy Tunsil throughout this draft process was Robert Kamdiche, his teammate at Ole Miss at the NFL Combine, kind of throwing him under the bus. Kamdiche was in trouble for falling out of a right. balcony window when he was allegedly smoking pot. And he let it slip at the combine that Laramie Tunsil was there in the room.
Oh, my God, what?
First of all, that doesn't...
Fascinating that didn't get any more, that didn't get any more play, right,
yeah,
Adam?
Right.
It didn't get as much play as I thought, but it came out. It was
now,
out there enough for teams certainly doing their homework. So I imagine that no one's really surprised about this video that's come out. However, teams, if they've never seen this before, they got to be scrambling right now to know, okay, when was this video? Where's this video from? When is it from? Was it from last week? Is it from 2 years ago? And I don't know if right now, if you can't find that answer, if I'm an NFL team, I'm going to the next guy on the draft board.
And as an NFL fan, I will say right now, I don't know if I care if Laramie Tunsil is available at the offensive left tackle, who is projected to be number one, is available at 11 because he's a 18-year-old kid who smoked pot.
Right.
I'll take him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though.
He's good.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. I was just going to say, I think John Fox cares. And so I think, Adam, what do you think?
Absolutely. It's a great point. I think John Fox does care about that stuff. And you know what? Let me give you a football red flag, too. So stuff that's not off the field. It bothers me that Laramie Tunsil never played a full season at Ole Miss. Now, this first 2 years, he had injuries. So that's something to keep in mind. And his third year, he had this issue with the NCAA where he got suspended for 7 games. I don't think teams care as much about that. That's more of a he accepted benefits kind of deal, and it's not the end of the world. But the fact that he played 3 years, he's a 5-star recruit. I think he lived up to the hype in terms of when he was actually on the field and he played. He's a great player. But it bothers me that he's coming out here, and I don't have a full season of tape on him.
Adam Hoge's down at the Auditorium Theater. We'll check back with you in just a bit.
Sounds good.
Adam, thanks for the update on the first 6 picks. Adam there at Draft Town. I want to get back to you, Izzy. Ronnie Stanley, Notre Dame, goes as the number one offensive tackle. You know, we're just having this conversation about Tunsil. The Michigan State kid's still out there.
Conklin.
I want to ask you, what makes a great left tackle? Because you've played against guys, you know, are blue chip kind of players. What is it about a left tackle that can change the game?
Well, I think just a guy who, you know, you can count on to do his job consistently. You know, you can put him on the island regardless of what they throw at him. He's got great feet, great hands, you know, and you can just know that – you know, he's a guy that's going to lock down whatever they throw him at the end. And then the best guys that do that have strong hands. You know, they punch one hand, two hands.
A lot of that, right? A lot of mauling. Like, constantly getting hit,
yeah,
right?
They just, I mean, they put a hand on you. They, like, grab you, and they can't, you know, just it's a wall there on that side. So, you know, having those big guys that just cover a lot of space, you know, they can set back really well to give themselves some space between the quicker ends. You know, those are the guys that you want.
Okay, Izzy, so looking at this board so far, as Jim was hoping, the offensive players are going. So as you heard from Adam Hoge, DeForest Buckner still available. The outside linebackers like Miles Jack or even the defensive end, Shaq Lawson. As a defensive player, are you hoping the Bears go defense with 11?
Absolutely. I think I love playing in what I consider one of the best defenses in the NFL during that time when we played. Defense wins championships. When you have a defense you can count on, and it starts up front. You know, the guys up front set the tone. They're the engine of a dominant defense. So I think I'd love to see them do something that really locks it in, that they don't got to worry about that defensive play. They don't got to worry about stopping the run. You know you're going to dominate at the line of scrimmage all day long.
Do you feel as a former player that the Chicago Bears organization is moving back to that concept of football? Because, you know, they took that sort of Mark Trestman detour where they went offense, offense, offense. Do you think they recognized, you know, that not only just on the play on the field, but what the fans felt, that they want to get back to defensive football in Chicago?
Yeah, I think so. And really, I mean, I look at Fox. He's kind of like an old school kind of throwback type of coach. So, I mean, because of him and just his philosophy, his mentality, he's like one of those guys that represents what football is as a coach. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this year with this group of men. And I think it's going to be a lot just tougher style of football.
And Vic Fangio in the defensive coordinator. So I really think that is the strength of this coaching staff. Yeah. And hopefully they're going to go draft a whole bunch of pieces for those guys.
Speaking
to put in place.
Coaching staff, since I got you in the room, any chance you go down to U of I and join Lovie Smith on the...
But I couldn't be any happier for Coach.
Oh, it's an awesome thing.
Yeah, I saw it.
It is such a... It hadn't even occurred to anybody before it happened because it was so far beyond what anybody could have thought Illinois could have done with that job.
So exciting.
All right. So, I mean... We'll let you go here because you're going to leave here at 8 o'clock, Izzy, and we'll let you know who they pick. But
exactly.
You know, for you, I mean...
Feel free to call in.
You never really paid attention to draft night when you were playing. But, you know, this is... You saw the players today. I mean, the days like this, are they like... They remind you of the good times of playing football in Chicago? Do they bring up the memories? You're like, man, I want to get those pads back on.
No, I don't want to get the pads back on. You know, but it was 11 great years. But days like this, weeks like this... Definitely, it's a great feeling, and it just you kind of reminisce about the journey. You know, you think about the group of guys. I was fortunate to play with a core group of guys for so long, and you know, today Peanut and I just laughing and catching up on and I'm saying some of the jokes he was telling were jokes that he's been telling for years, but they were still as funny. We all had a good time. We laughed. So those are the moments that you'll remember.
What does it mean for you to have the Israel Adonijay Foundation here in town to be a prominent member of this town? What's it mean to be a Chicagoan to stay here and set up shop?
You know, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be where I am without, you know, the city of Chicago, the leaders of Chicago, you know, supporting a young kid. I got here when I was 21 years old. I'm 35 now, and I've been able to have a successful business, a successful career. It's what Chicago represents, such a great city. The sports community, the fans, the people love, you know, their athletes and the community itself. So for me, what we're doing with the foundation, it's about just giving back. It's about being a part of that culture and doing what we can with our platform.
Well, there's a fundraiser for the foundation tomorrow. It's Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue. What is it?
Yeah, it's there's an event. It's going to be fashion. We're going to have barbers out. We're going to have stylists. You're going to have an artist, music, food, and it's just to get young men out. We're going to help you, you know, just step up your game a little bit in style and fashion and just expose you to some great things. And women, if you got a guy in your life that's a little sloppy, you need to clean him up a little, bring him on out or come out for him. It's really, we've partnered up with Be Groomed. It's a pop-up for them, partnered with Saks. It's just a great event about fashion, style, and just elevating your game a little bit, and all for a good cause.
Izzy Adonijay, you can check that out tomorrow. Draft Your Style at Saks Fifth Avenue, 11 to 5. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Jim Kaufman's going to stick around. We're going to hit the news. Let me get a break and get the news so we're on time. DeForest Buckner, drafted by the San Francisco 49ers with the 7th pick. That's a surprise. We'll talk to Adam Hoge before we come back. The Bears are going to be on the clock real soon. It's draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
WGN Sports NFL Draft underway at the Auditorium Theater. We will get to the top 8 picks here in just a second. Wow. But let's join WGN's Adam Hoge right now, who is at the Auditorium Theater. Adam, the Bears have traded up.
Yeah, the big news here at the Auditorium Theater is the Bears have traded up to the number 9 pick here. That was a pick held by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Details of the trade are not known yet, but the Bears obviously giving up some of those 9 picks that they have here to move up 2 slots, leapfrog the New York Giants. We do not know. The pick is in. They have not announced it yet, but we will give it to you as soon as it is announced here at the Auditorium Theater.
What's your thought, Adam? I mean, is the thought that Laremy Tunsil's still on the board and they want to go after him, or are they trying to hopscotch the Giants to get to one of those speedy linebackers?
Well, I'm very curious to see who this pick is, because I would have traded up for DeForest Buckner from Oregon, who came off the board at number 7. He's not there anymore. So, you know, the top guy on my big board right now is Miles Jack from UCLA. But with these reports this week about his knee, he was expected to fall out of the top 10 anyway. So have they done their homework on Laremy Tunsil? Do they want Tunsil that bad? Because we do know that the New York Giants are in the market for an offensive tackle. I think they really wanted Jack Conklin, who Tennessee just traded up for and stole from the Giants. So I'm very interested to see what this pick actually is.
It's interesting because as we think about it, and here we come back to the draft, it looks like the pick is in, and we're going to go up to Roger Goodell in just a second here.
He's walking out right now.
You want to bring up we'll bring up the feed. We'll bring up the feed so we can hear him live here. Go ahead.
Nighttime here in the Windy City, a very special award.
A little,
for a very special person and the award winner and the commissioner.
It's coming to the stage with Connie Payton.
With the Bears on the clock, we want to take this moment to remember one of NFL's greatest men, Chicago's own Hall of Famer, Walter Payton.
Playing to the crowd a little bit.
Walter meant so much to Chicago and to football fans everywhere. And we're honored tonight to have his wife, Connie, with us. Every season, we celebrate Walter's legacy with the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. It stands for excellence in football and community service. Also here tonight is the 2015 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award winner, Anquan Boldin. Thank you, Anquan, for what you and your fellow NFL players do every year to make our communities better. We're proud of all of you. Thank you.
All right, here we go. Well, no, he's walking back.
Mrs. Payton.
All right. Adam Hogue, you still there?
Yeah.
So he's walking off the stage, which is weird. I was ready to get the the pick in, but I guess they just wanted to play to the crowd about Walter Payton a little bit.
I don't really know why Roger Goodell just walked off the stage. I do, however, know the pick.
You do? So
I will scoop the commissioner right now.
Very
right,
nice. Here we go. WGN Radio. What do you got?
The Bears have drafted Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, linebacker, and this is interesting because I wasn't sure that he was worth the number 11 pick. I do know the Giants liked him a lot at number 10, though, so they were obviously worried about the Giants taking them at number 10, and they leapfrogged to get Leonard Floyd.
Wow, so Leonard Floyd, who, you know, it was big on the Bears board, is now a Chicago Bear. Let's hear the official from Roger Goodell.
Bears selection are the two-time Youth League champion Fosco Park Jr.
Now they're really playing this up, like the Chicago hometown stuff. Okay, not every team gets this. All right, here we go.
Congratulations, Coach, to you and your team, and to all the younger players, their coaches, their families, who enjoy participating in flag and tackle youth football. Thank you, guys. So with the 9th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Leonard Floyd, linebacker, Georgia.
Interesting response. There you go. An interesting response there, Adam. What do you think of that?
Yeah, not exactly a huge ovation here. At the Auditorium Theater. Let me tell you, though, I mean, Leonard Floyd did come in at number 10 on my Bears big board that we've been doing here on WGN Radio all month long. He's 6'6", he's 244, so he's got a lot of length and height. The athleticism, the speed, it's all there. The concern here with Leonard Floyd is he's not very heavy. He weighed in at 244, he's not very strong. And in my scouting report that I wrote up, Bears fans are going to hate this, but I mentioned the name Shea McClellan. And the reason I did was...
Egad.
No. The reason why I mentioned his name is just because he has the speed, he has the athleticism, he has all those tools McClellan had, but he's not strong right now. He likes to go around blockers, not through them. He's not strong at the point of attack. He's not great at setting the edge and stopping the run. These are things that he needs to learn how to do and get stronger. Now, here's what I will say. I think he's going to be better than Shea McClellan. I think the upside is much higher. I think he's a better player. And also, and this needs to be taken into account maybe more than anything, the Bears are running the right defense.
Right.
For Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
They were not running the right defense for Shea McClellan when they drafted Shea McClellan out of Boise State. So I think the upside is better here, but I am a little skeptical here, and I am a little surprised that – well, I'm not surprised they traded up – for this player if they really loved him that much, because I'm pretty sure the Giants were going to take him at number 10 and he wouldn't have been available.
Yeah,
there.
So interesting.
I'm just a little surprised that they love him this much.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, they had him on the board and they had to do it because they got wind that the Giants were going to go for him. But the move up, everyone was expecting something a little more shocking than Leonard Floyd, the outside linebacker from Georgia. Thanks, Adam. We'll check back in with you, see what you get from reaction from the Auditorium Theater. Thanks for giving us the scoop, too, buddy.
Absolutely, and one quick note. You're probably going to have to bring in Sam Banianovich in here because Leonard Floyd is not in the building here. He did
really?
Not come to Chicago for the draft, so the Bears draft pick is not here in Chicago right now.
Wow.
So we will not have access to him here tonight, but he should be doing a conference call up at Halas Hall, and we do have Sam Banianovich
right
out there.
We'll get Sam in a minute. Thanks a lot, Adam. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so let's go back to Rob Martyr because the Bears moved up and rudely interrupted his
not at all.
Sports.
That's big news, man.
It
when it's about
news.
The Bears, that trumps just about everything.
I mean, it's in this town, it's so true.
It's an interesting move because this kid is athletic. I mean, he is fast, but you do wonder about in the NFL if big grinding tackles and guards are just going to run this kid over. All right,
40.
Exciting night, NFL draft here in Chicago. The Chicago Bears move up from 11 to 9, but they give up a fourth-round pick to do so. A trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to select outside linebacker from Georgia, Leonard Floyd.
Yep.
Jim Kaufman's with me, BeachwoodReporter.com. What do you think of the move?
Well, a couple things. First of all, as a Bears fan, hallelujah, they took a potentially very exciting defensive player. And I want to talk about this guy's ceiling. Jerry Angelo always wanted to talk about the former general manager of the Bears. He always wanted to talk about guys' floor.
Right.
Floors. And that actually was an interesting concept. I hadn't heard about that before Jerry Angelo brought that to Draft Talk. But let's talk about the young man's ceiling. And I think this guy is the potentially most exciting player in this draft. He is that speed, the defensive end. He is that guy who you're going to be looking to get around those tackles, to fly past those tackles. So, you know, you worry about his strength. You worry there's plenty of things to worry about. You know, certainly don't know where his floor might be.
Well, obviously,
but I think the ceiling is pretty high.
I mean, his speed reminds you of another linebacker that was picked at number 9 in Brian Urlacher. I mean, there's you know, he's a fast defensive player. Does it help that he's playing in a 3-4 and it's not just about pinning ears back and rushing the quarterback? He's going to be in coverage. He's going to be assigned to running backs coming out of the backfield. There's some things in there that will help with the speed that he has. It's outside.
Well, that's
small
right.
Outside linebacker.
Yeah, and they're not going to. He's not going to be the guy who has to set the edge. You know, who has to and be strong at the point of attack and turn that running game back in. That's not going to be his role. He is going to be that speed guy coming after the quarterback. And it is fascinating when you look at it. There was a little note on the Twitter feed that I think it was from ESPN. John Fox teams in the past have drafted two defensive end / outside linebackers in the first round with the Panthers and then with the Broncos.
Yeah,
that was Julius Peppers
and
Von Miller. That's right. So,
right, so
there you go.
Doing,
Julius
so.
Peppers, Von Miller,
well,
and that's all. You know,
we'll take a quick
no
break,
pressure or anything. No pressure.
This was
Leonard Floyd.
This was a shocker in the sense that the Bears jumped up, that they just swapped picks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they also gave up a fourth rounder. You know, we were talking about the flexibility that the Bears have, but we also, as fans, were salivating at the idea that they may be able to pull 4, 5, 6 rookie starters out of this before up to the fourth round. You know, there's a great history of fourth round stars in the NFL. So giving up a fourth rounder is not like just throwing in change.
Well, and let's remember who last year's fourth rounder was. That was Mr. Jeremy Langford, who we're only hoping is going to be a superstar running back for the Bears going forward. So especially that not getting Ezekiel Elliott, and of course, I think they will take a running back later in the draft.
Now, look at this. This is interesting. The New York Giants, with the 10th pick, pick cornerback, the corner out of Ohio State. What was that kid's name?
Eli Apple.
Apple, right.
Yes.
The apple of my eye. The big apple.
Yep.
And then there's so many nicknames.
Oh, exactly. I think they had to take it because his name is Apple. I mean, come on. Eli Big Apple.
Right.
There it is.
There you go.
Forevermore.
Eli
it's
Eli
over.
Apple. Eli
no
Eli.
More nicknames.
All right, let's take a break. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. What do you think of the Bears pick? What do you think of the move to trade up to get Georgia outside linebacker Leonard Floyd to give up a fourth-round pick? I mean, this could be a big move. We could be seeing a new superstar linebacker in Chicago. Let's hope so. It's NFL draft coverage of the Chicago Bears and the NFL draft here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
Stand up and holler. $2 bets, $4 bets, $6 bits a dollar. $6 bits a dollar. If you're a Bears fan like
Oh, we're getting the deep cuts now. 312-981-7200, the number to call. What do you think of the Chicago Bears' move to draft Leonard Floyd, outside linebacker from Georgia? A lot of speed, big guy, but I would say he's bony.
Well, it's fascinating. One thing is, big difference in opinion from Todd McShay and of course the great and glorious best hair of all time, Mel Kiper. Kiper very much the echoing our own Adam Hogue in terms of concerns about the guy's strength.
Yep.
And oh, Adam, did you have to say Shay McClellan? Oh my gosh, we're finally getting rid of that guy. But anyway, So Kuiper certainly on board with concerns,
McShay.
And you know you have to, that's just the honest assessment. However, Todd McShay, exactly in the opposite direction, feeling as though the guy has all sorts of potential.
Okay, well, you know, one of the things that was mentioned from Adam Hogue is that Leonard Floyd is not at the Auditorium Theater. He didn't come down, which is interesting. Up at Halas Hall is Sam Panionovich. Sam, welcome to the show. What do you think of the pick? And tell us what's the reaction up at Halas Hall.
Well, Justin, I'm standing outside Halas Hall next to the Papa Bear Halas statue. He's actually looking and pointing at me as we speak, so it's a little bit strange.
It was scary.
Quiet here until about 15 minutes ago. That was when the Bears officially moved up. The first time they've done that in 20 years. They took Walt Harris in 96. That was the last time they made a trade in the first round. So Ryan Pace made a move aggressively to get his guy. They feel that Leonard Floyd, the linebacker from Georgia, is going to be everything they hope for in a pass rusher. I think there are two highlights in this draft, though. Number two is Leonard Floyd not being in Chicago when the draft is in Chicago. And number one is the bong rip, the bong death mask.
Yeah, right.
The bong death mask.
Are
you kidding me? I don't know if you've heard the story yet, but an offensive tackle prospect named Laramie Tunsil, there was a video on his social media, and he still hasn't been picked, I don't think.
He was projected to be the number one pick just a couple months ago before all the quarterback trade-ups. And Tunsil still hasn't been picked. The mock drafts, we were just talking about this, the mock drafts have the next team interested in an offensive tackle is the Colts later in the draft at 18.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may pass him up. You've been seeing a huge drop on character. But we talked about this a little bit earlier, Sam, and Adam mentioned it. They knew about the video if he's dropping. They're not dropping because they just saw it 5 seconds ago. The NFL teams have a pretty good squad, and they probably knew about this guy's character long before we did.
I still don't think it helps.
Right.
I don't think you put that in the strength column for Laramie Tunsil. But no, it's about to get a little bit louder here at Halas Hall. We expect to hear from general manager Ryan Pace. We also expect on a conference call, Leonard Floyd will join the party a little bit later on. So we'll keep you posted on anything crazy. But for now, it looks like the Bears are done in the first round. Leonard Floyd is the guy, so we'll keep you posted.
All right. Thanks, Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports up at Halas Hall. Interesting. So Vernon Hargraves is gone. Who picked him? So I missed that because we were talking the same.
That would be your Tampa Bay Buccaneers
got the guy they wanted.
Well, that's right. The pick they got the Bears.
It must have been the New York Giants.
Oh, it is. I think definitely.
Yeah,
they thought it was going to be John. And the fact that the Giants were excited about either Conklin or Floyd. Conklin had already gone, you know what I mean? So
right. The
Giants had lost, so they couldn't switch to Conklin, so it was going to be Floyd. I think that was the thinking on the part of the Bears.
You know, it's tough, too, to see that Vernon Hargraves, I mean, that guy was a shutdown corner for Florida. Really interesting that he was on the board and he's still on the board because there were a lot of mock drafts that said that would be a nice need for the Bears to have, you know, to invest in a shutdown corner on that defense.
Yes, but remember, he does have the dreaded short arms. So, you know, I'm not kidding. That's part of your that's part of your draft report.
All right, so coming up,
we'll
continue. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from Doug Plank a little bit later here and we'll continue. We want to know what you think. Leonard Floyd from Georgia, outside linebacker. Was it worth moving up to lose the fourth round pick? It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
They're the monsters of the Midway, rolling across the USA.
I might let this one play a little bit.
They're the monsters of the Midway. The monsters have come to play.
There you go. It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Jim Kaufman. Kaufman and Kaufman. Bringing you a little bit of analysis and breakdown of the Bears' surprising move to move up in the draft from the 11th pick to the 9th, gave up a fourth rounder to swap those picks.
First time in 20 years.
First time to pick Georgia outside linebacker Leonard Floyd.
There he is, Leonard Floyd. Well, I will say this. The story of the draft so far, the fall of Laramie Tunsil. Laramie Tunsil, he's off the cliff. He's halfway down or maybe down, who knows. But he continues to fall. I will say, however, that right now the Dolphins are on the clock, and then is the Oakland Raiders. And I'll tell you this. Back in the day, back when Al Davis was in charge, you know the Raiders would have been taking this Tunsil guy, and they'd have been celebrating every which way.
Jim, at what point do you say, if you're an NFL team, especially a team that, you know, may already be on their way to the playoffs, you start to get to the late teens, the 20s, that they'll take a flyer on a guy who was a projected number one because of a character issue?
Well, I will just say that this, I believe, these are the places where you get the advantage. Everybody in the league is scouting everything. There's so much common knowledge, etc. So a guy like this acknowledged as a total stud, as a potential, you know, great offensive tackle, blindside tackle for 10 years, falls like this because of character issues. But he's, you know, he has the talent. So you certainly worry about that. Although we're talking about pot here. It's a different sort of drug.
It's more than just a picture of or a video of smoking pot. It's on his account.
Exactly.
So you have to ask the character the judgment of why you would do that.
Exactly.
That's a pretty crazy thing. The pick is in for the Dolphins. The Dolphins with the 13th pick select. Let's see what. It looks like they did it. Laramie Tunsil is off the board.
Oh, look at that.
Well, let's see. The Miami Dolphins said, you know what? It's Florida, South Beach. You know what?
That's right.
It's like ballers here. Laramie Tunsil, offensive tackle from Ole Miss, who was projected at one point to be the number one pick, fell all the way to 14 because of character issues, some video of him smoking pot. So that story has ended.
It's come to an end. There it was. Well, it was a heck of a story while it lasted.
What I like, and I want to bring our next guest in, but what I like still out there, if you're a team in the second half of the first draft, you've got Miles Jack, who has a probable knee injury, but he's still on the board. Shaq Lawson from Clemson, a defensive end that many thought that the Bears would grab up at number 11, still on the board. And a lot of other, you know, sort of players that at one time or another sort of flirted around the being a top 10 pick. So it's not a bad first round for any of the players or the teams that are still left.
Yeah, very much so. There's still some very intriguing stories. Miles Jack is a guy that there's information has just emerged in the last couple of days about additional concerns about a knee injury. So we'll see. He becomes the new guy who we'll see how far he falls. So.
All right, joining me on the line, good old number 46 from the Chicago Bears, one of the best Chicago Bears of all time, safety Doug Plank. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show.
You got to like the fact that they went with Leonard Floyd, a linebacker, because it's defense.
Yes. I did a couple games last year for a national network, and that was one thing that they came across very soon and quick in the game, that they really had a lack of control of the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, by them choosing someone on defense, I totally understand it. And some of my friends that are Chicago Bears said, why did they take this guy? He's underweight. He's, you know, he might be tall. But, you know, you start thinking about the Super Bowl and the success the Broncos had with those guys coming off the edge and really beating those one-on-one matchups. I think that's where most defenses in the National Football League are going.
Now, for you, I mean, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. You know, you were an undersized guy. I mean, you learned how to play with your body. How does a guy like Leonard Floyd, who is undersized, use that to his advantage?
Well, I think, number one, we don't really know what kind of attitude he is. I mean, when you're going through a football career, there's two major transitions a football player goes through. When he goes from high school to college, which is a huge transition, but I'm telling you, even greater is when you go from college to professional football, because now all of a sudden you're playing against guys that this is their occupation. It isn't just a pastime. And everything that you do is so much more intense and scrutinized. The mistakes that you make, but more importantly, you have to give yourself a chance. And I think in the case of Leonard Floyd, I think he's got tremendous variables. When you look at his 40 time, 4.6, that's incredible for a defensive lineman. 40-inch vertical, you know, I've heard 6.5, 6.6 height. I mean, he's got all the variables, but he needs strength. So it's going to be a lot of this is going to be up to him how much commitment he's willing to make as far as making himself stronger.
That sounds great. Doug, first of all, Jim Kaufman weighing in. and a former very sizable fan, the whole Kauffman family. What great fun it was watching you play and be the consummate Chicago Bear defender. So here we are. I think part of our reason for love of defense with the Bears is the great work you did during your tenure. I will say one perhaps exciting thing about this for defensive backs, I would think this is just the sort of guy who's going to put the pressure on the quarterback, cause him to heave the ball up into the air, and hopefully interceptions will follow. So perhaps that's another way of looking at this. Yeah.
Jim, you know what? You know, really, my skill as a defensive back was totally dependent on Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael, all those guys. I'm serious. If those guys were terrible defensive pass rushers, then I was going to be a terrible defensive back, because if you're in the secondary, everything breaks down after 5 seconds. Everything has a course to it. The ball gets delivered. You break on the ball. After 5 seconds, though, and if you're not getting a quarterback down, then the huge advantage swings to the offense. So that's why I think every team has to focus, number one, whether they have a good offense or a good defense. It's on the line of scrimmage. Those guys just are not given enough credit for what they do. Every interception I ever got in the National Football League was a result of somebody on the line of scrimmage pressuring the quarterback and making him hurry or make a bad throw. So, you know, I think I love the fact that they're focusing on defense. You know, I think he needs a little bit more weight underneath him. Mm-hmm. You know, I also did the game last year when the Redskins came to play and they owned the line of scrimmage. They controlled the running game. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, the Chicago Bear defense for years is just known as dominating, and that's what they got to get back to.
So for this kid, and we had Izzy Adonijay in here, and he talked a little bit about, you know, what coaches have to do to motivate and what they have to do to sort of understand and identify the skills that a player might have, put them in the right position to win. We mentioned Shea McClellan here, who, you know, was a 3-4 outside linebacker who we brought in to play a 4-3. Yes. In this case, this is a kid who came out of an 3-4 system. He's an outside linebacker. In a Vic Fangio system, do we see the situation where the coaches are going to know how to utilize him in this defense?
You know, there's a great philosophy difference. Having coached for 12 years in the National Football League and the NCAA, sometimes the theory is, do you make a player fit your mold and your scheme, or do you allow him to do his thing and then try to form a defense around that? I think in this case with Floyd, he is so athletic. You know, this whole thing about defense, smash mouth, we want to run over people. Well, if you watch Floyd play, he runs around blockers. You know, he is so quick with long range. You know, so whoever's coaching this kid, they have to give him some leeway, some freedom to be able to take advantage of the great things that he can do on defense. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, certainly I know the coaches are in charge of everything, but I think sometimes you got to look at players and say, hey, this kid is special and we got to give him some opportunities to get to the quarterback.
That is the eternal conflict, isn't it? Whether or not it's that
yes.
You have so much trust in your system that you push the system, or if you say, wait a minute, this guy is so talented that, and it sounds like this guy is so talented that this is one of those guys where maybe you have to make it work for him rather than making the guy fit in the system.
You know, in certain times, you know, they even give up weakness. You know, some players, not many in the National Football League, are so good that they can go in the wrong direction with that initial first or second step. They are so quick. They are so fast. They can get back and cover an area. And that's what this kid looks like. You know, I just remember watching, you know, Clemson play a little bit. And, you know, it's just, the incredible quickness and the edge that he had. Now, he doesn't have great pop, you know, which some people expect, where you're blowing people up. But, you know, he can do so many other things to put pressure on the quarterback, which is really where defense starts.
Doug Plank, one of the all-time greats for the Chicago Bears, safety number 46. Thanks for checking in tonight to give us your assessment of a defensive Chicago Bear football player. Thank you.
Yeah, really, you know what? I just want Chicago Bears to get back to what they were reputation-wise. Having coached the National Football League, it's unbelievable how much teams respect the Bears, you know, just because of their historical nature. And I just love to see the Bears get back to that level.
Us too. Us too. Hear, hear.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Getting all the oboes in.
Good. Very nice.
It's the NFL draft coverage here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Jim Kaufman from BeachwoodReporter.com. No relation. C&K.
Yeah, we Kaufman can't, and we Kaufman. Just that's can't good. Agree on the spelling, but that's it's perfect for radio.
Let's go back out to the Auditorium Theater, bring in Adam Hogue. Adam from WGN Radio. A surprising pick for the Oakland Raiders, bringing the safety Carl Joseph in. But so far, I mean, Laremy Tunsil was a big story, and he's off the board.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil comes off the board to a Bears old friend, Adam Gase, at number 13, now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Wow. Gase, of course, the Bears offensive coordinator last year. So it's interesting, this whole Tunsil thing. I mean, credit to Laremy Tunsil, who right away did an interview with Deion Sanders here on stage that I could hear. And I was very upfront about the whole thing. Said it was the whole video was a mistake. And for those that missed it, a video surfaced like right before the draft started tonight on Laremy Tunsil's own Twitter account of him smoking out of a mask bong. I'm not making that up. That really happened. It's so bizarre that it happened.
On his account, that's the problem.
His account.
And he's not saying he was hacked.
His own Twitter
account. He's saying he put it up.
Well, no, he is saying he got hacked, which for the first time in the history of the old hacked excuse, I believe it.
There you go.
Because why in the world would he post a video of him smoking out of a mask ball right before the draft starting? Now, there was Deion asked him directly if his stepfather did it, because there's some history here with his stepfather. It has to do with the impermissible benefits that he got in trouble with the NCAA and his whole suspension. There's a lot here. But he said he didn't know who did it. Maybe it was his stepfather. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, he took accountability for it, said it was a mistake, and the Dolphins are willing to take a chance on him.
Wow. So right now, this looks to be the Cleveland Browns, correct? The Cleveland Browns getting their picks in after they traded away.
Are they finally going to pick somebody?
It's Corey Coleman from Baylor, the wide receiver, who the Bears showed a little interest in.
So how's the reaction been to the Bears moving up? You know, one of the big moves in this draft on draft day was the Bears moving from 11 to 9. What's the reaction been from the press row, from the fans, things like that?
Yeah, you know, in terms of in the building, it was very quiet. We kind of heard that earlier when we had the pick live on air. And I think a lot of Bears fans were caught off guard. And the reaction I'm getting on social media and on Twitter, maybe mostly negative if I'm being honest. I would say that the honeymoon is over for Ryan Pace, which we kind of know. You're 1 year into the NFL as a general manager, and usually the nostalgia wears off a little bit, and I think that this pick probably does it. Here's some things, though, that I think you got to like about Leonard Floyd's game. He had 17 sacks, 28.5 tackles for loss in college, very productive, even though they lined him up a lot inside as a middle linebacker at times. So he can play all over the field. I actually just tweeted out, you can find it at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, a video of him against Missouri, just blowing by the right tackle with a spin move. So there's a lot to like here. I think the big question is, can he hold up physically at the NFL level? I think he needs to add some strength, add some weight, which we talked about earlier. And, you know, guys, I can't say I'm in love with the pick, but I'm intrigued. I love the speed. I love the athleticism. When I talked to John Fox in Florida last month at the NFL owners' meetings, he made it clear. The Bears need to add speed on defense. That was their number one priority coming into tonight, and they accomplished that.
Well, let me ask you real quick. You know, it seems like we were just talking about it, the fact that the Bears are doing a lot with the linebacker position, the free agency, the last big free agent moves this year and last year with Pernell McPhee, this draft. It seems like they're giving Vic Fangio what he needs to run his defense in Chicago.
No question. And I was so impressed last year with Vic Fangio because the defense took a big step forward, and that was with not a whole lot of playmakers. I mean, if you go back and watch the season, there weren't takeaways being forced, which has been a problem now for about 2.5 seasons. You gotta take the ball away, and to do that, you have to force teams into making mistakes with speed. You have to get after the quarterback. You have to surprise ball carriers and strip the ball. And they just didn't have those type of playmakers on defense last year. So that's what they're trying to do here. You know, I don't know that they added any quote-unquote playmakers in free agency. I think they added a lot of solid players like Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, Akeem Hicks, guys like that. But really, I think you got to go to the draft to find your next wave of young players. And I think that the Bears like their outside linebackers right now. You saw Pernell McPhee last year, impressive mm-hmm. even though he wasn't completely healthy. Lamar Houston and Willie Young came on very strong right. late in the season. They just were not healthy early in the year coming off injuries. And so I think they like their depth now at this position by adding Leonard Floyd. They had to add youth, though, because those guys are all older veterans. And Floyd brings youth. I also still wonder, and this is just me, I haven't heard anything about this, but I've talked about it before. I just wonder if there's a team out there, maybe a 4-3 team, that would like Willie Young. And would, maybe the Bears now, after drafting Floyd, would be willing to make that trade if there is a market for him, which I don't know.
Well, and I would think, Adam, Jim here, I would think one question now, starting to look towards that second round, and perhaps the hope, or perhaps less the question, and the hope is that there is the feeling that there's more defensive depth in this draft, and so we talk. You talk about the guys that they've brought on as free agents. I think those are guys that they're looking for to be solid guys to occupy opposing blockers, et cetera, so that other guys can make the big plays. Perhaps that's what they're looking for with Leonard Floyd. Is there a guy you start to look at or start to think about in the second round? A position?
Well, I'll have to, you know, reconvene a little bit here, but Shaq Lawson has still not been taken here, and neither has Kevin Dodd, who I both these are Clemson teammates, and I actually like Dodd a little bit more than Shaq Lawson. So these guys are still on the board here. I don't know if they're going to slip all the way out of the first round, and the Bears are drafting eighth in the second round, I believe. So I don't know if those guys are going to fall that much. I do wonder right. here, though. I mean, you start giving up a lot when you trade up twice. But if these guys slip even further, tonight's not
again,
necessarily
right.
over for the Bears tonight. You could trade back up into the first round and still grab one of these
especially
other guys if you're in love with
them. Yeah, right. If Shaq Lawson's still available. All right, so we'll let you go because we want to hit to the news here. But we'll pay attention, Adam, and check back in with you to see if anything happens with the Bears thinking about grabbing some of these players who are still on the board. Adam Hoge at the Auditorium Theater at the Draft Town for WGN Radio Sports. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
It's a download here on WGN Radio doing some NFL draft coverage tonight. Chicago is abuzz with the first round of the NFL draft 2016. The Bears move up from their 11th pick to the 9th. To secure Leonard Floyd, a linebacker out of Georgia. Leonard Floyd, it was an interesting time. It was a shock only for the fact that, you know, that he wasn't what the fans necessarily were clamoring for. And to move up and use a fourth-round pick for that trade with Tampa to get him in Chicago seems peculiar. But you know what? He's got a lot of upside, speed out the wazoo. I mean, this is the kind of stuff where you talk about athletes, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they can do something special, right, Jim Kaufman?
Well, and again, you try to have faith in the guys running the team and what their expertise is. And goodness, it sure does make a lot of sense. Well, you got to take some confidence away. John Fox, Vic Fangio, taking a look at this guy and deciding that he's a potential difference maker.
And that's what we missed. I mean, the defensive side of the ball was competent. I'll give it that. This last season, they were vicious at times. But what they lacked was that big turnover, that sort of Brian Urlacher pizzazz that the Bears used to have, where they could bring one back to the house like that.
Yep.
Having a outside linebacker who's fast, who can get to the quarterback, that can disrupt plays, get into the backfield, it may mean good things for a Bears secondary that was almost turnover deficient.
Well, and that's something Doug Plank talked about with us earlier. It is, people forget about that everything that happens in football, especially on defense, is interrelated. That it's amazing how much better the secondary is if you can get a pass rush going. There is also the element of the copycat league. The NFL is mm-hmm. the copycat league. And, of course, we all just watched the Broncos win the Super Bowl using speed on defense. Von Miller wreaking havoc. It's also amazing how bad quarterbacks are when they're worried they're about to get hit by some speed rusher flying in. And there is tape out there. I'll tell you, there's video out there of Mr. Floyd making some amazing plays.
I like that.
Getting from here to there in a split second to blow up plays.
I'm a big fan of a defensive player. I think of Brian Urlacher. I also think of Devin Hester, where there was video in college where you were like, well, I can't believe the things he did. You know, it's fun when you go for that athleticism, when you go for a player in the first round that
isn't just going to be a great defensive player or has the pedigree from playing at a big college, but has something that a lot of other players don't, some intangible.
I'll say also that it sure seems as though there's a lot of consensus of opinion that the Giants were ready to take this guy at with the 10th pick. That the Giants, there were two players they were interested in at that 10th pick. One had already gone, the kid Conklin, the offensive
Michigan
tackle.
State, yeah.
And so I really do think that and looking at the various the reactions to the pick, there's near consensus that the Giants were going to take him if the Bears didn't make this move. So the Bears get aggressive, first time in 20 years, we've mentioned before, but first time in 20 years, they move up to take a pick. I worry a little that maybe Ryan Pace felt a little pressure to do that, that he was feeling as though he needed to make a splash this year, and you certainly don't want to see something like that occurring. However, I think this was the guy they targeted, and they went and did what they had to do to get him.
Well, it's interesting to watch the players that were picked around in the first 19 picks. We haven't seen Miles Jack. We haven't seen Shaq Lawson, who was a Clemson defensive end that many had going in the top 10. So it is interesting that there has been a run on all the offensive linemen, and we saw the center from Alabama just get picked by the Colts. We saw the Lions pick up the Ohio State tackle. So there's been a couple safeties and corners that have been picked in the draft. So it is interesting as the Bears get ready for a second round tomorrow, which they have an early pick. They have the 8th pick. A lot of those defensive linemen and defensive linebackers are still in play. Now, there's still a lot of picks to go. We still got the big playoff teams are coming up, the 10 picks at the back of the first round. But surprising so far that we haven't seen some of the names that have been thrown around. Up there goes Shaq Lawson. There you go. See?
Well, there it is.
Shaq Lawson gets picked in the 19th pick in the first round by the Buffalo Bills.
How about that?
There you go.
Well, and that's Rex Ryan getting the best defensive player available. So I do think there has been a feeling that there is depth in this draft beyond the big names that we see in the mock drafts in the first round, etc. There is depth in this draft on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that is one hope, is that they can pick up that strong defensive end presence that it seems pretty clear they're going to need. Perhaps Will Sutton or Ego Ferguson are going to step up in that defensive end spot next to Eddie Goldman in the middle, and Hakeem Nicks, the free agent pickup, on the other side. But it seems more likely that they're going to go get somebody. And I hope there has been a feeling that there's depth in the draft, in the larger draft, at that position.
You know, I mean, that's the only unsettled spot of the sort of front seven, because they went after free agents for linebackers. Trevathan comes from Denver. Freeman comes from the Colts. You got the draft pick they just had with Floyd. Pernell McPhee's already there.
From last year.
So the question is, that's a whole sort of one of the defensive end positions, but also the secondary. I mean, the secondary has two safeties. You know, Amos did good, a fifth-round rookie, but I mean, the stat line, we talked about this at the end of the season, the stat line on him was remarkable on the fact of zero turnovers. For a safety in his position, you need to be forcing fumbles. You need to be making interceptions. This
exactly.
guy did not do that.
Well, and that was, I think he was playing it carefully as a first year guy, and perhaps next year. And I will say also, he was playing next to Antrell Roll, who it felt as though was getting towards the end of his run.
He's still on the squad.
And then he got hurt as well, and that's right. And I do think safety has to be a priority in the second or third round. That's where you start to perhaps regret a little bit giving up that fourth round pick. Although they did, the other thing is Amos was drafted in the fifth round. So
So
perhaps there's some confidence there's a talent to be had later in the draft.
All right, well, let's take a break, because coming up we're going to talk with Sam Panjanovic. He was there for the conference call that just came in for Leonard Floyd, who's not in Chicago, which
we're
is surprising
to me.
We're
really struggling to understand that.
I mean, only because the draft is here. So, I mean, and Leonard Floyd, and maybe he has a family issue or something of that nature, but, you know, I mean, it is tough to think, you know, I mean, this is where you should be. Obviously, you're going to be a first-round pick. So we'll find out why Leonard Floyd wasn't in Chicago, and we'll also talk to Sam, who's going to catch up with GM Ryan Pace up at Hallis Hall. We're talking NFL draft. We're at the 20th pick. The Jets are on the clock. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll check in with Hallis Hall and the Bears brass here on WGN Radio. Stay with us.
That's how we roll.
Beats by Zim. He's got it. Pete Zimmerman. It's Justin Kaufman. It's the Downloads. WGN 720. Jim Kaufman's in studio with me. sports columnist for BeachwoodReporter.com. We're talking Bears, obviously, with the NFL draft tonight. The pick is in on the 20th pick, which is the Jets, the New York Jets. So we'll see what they do. Paxton Lynch is a name that's interesting. They're showing a lot of highlights, a Memphis quarterback. It brings to the question about quarterback. There have been, GM Ryan Pace talked about that there are some quarterbacks in this draft, and there may be something that the Bears do with quarterback to eventually replace Jay Cutler.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes. That's another thing where losing that fourth round pick might come into play. One guy I had my eye on a little bit, it's very funny, the quarterback Kevin Hogan from Stanford last year came to town at the start of the college football season and totally laid an egg against Northwestern. In the first game of the season, the Stanford offense was awful. And remarkably enough, they then turned around and had this glorious season for the rest of the way. Now, they discovered the McCaffrey kid, who probably should have gotten the Heisman. Nobody could have predicted how good he would be. Nevertheless, Hogan is fascinating. I think the Bears have, and again, you want to take the best possible guy, but they've got needs. They've still got significant needs. I don't think I got to figure they don't go quarterback till the fifth round, sixth round, and then you're talking about
Hogan
long,
is
long
interesting.
Shots.
I mean, he's an interesting guy. I mean, there's a pedigree there. Obviously, Andrew Luck came out of Stanford. He plays in the system. He was well touted, and there was even at the beginning, you're right, before that Northwestern game, they were talking Heisman with him, and they were talking, predicting that he would be a lottery pick for the NFL. But that didn't work out that way.
It did not, but he still had quite a year, and so that was a guy I had my eye on. However, like I said, I would be stunned, maybe not stunned, I would be surprised if they took a quarterback in the second or third round, especially without having a pick in the fourth. I think they're going to take a flyer on somebody in the fifth or the sixth. Yeah. So,
Darren Lee, outside linebacker from Ohio State. Ohio State, that's the pick for
that's about what, the fifth player from Ohio State?
Yeah, it seems like the Ohio State
Ohio State draft.
Doing well. But they that's the 20th pick with the Jets. Darren Lee, an outside linebacker who was a second-team All-American, All-Big Ten player. Which, we talked about, now here come the run on some of the teams that either just missed the playoffs, and here come the playoff teams, and you're going to see best players available in a lot of these situations, and they're going to be the defensive players who were skipped over at the beginning. I'm still surprised, Miles Jack.
He is. Well, and I think everybody's scared
to
death.
Knee, yeah.
So, I mean, look, the tweet went out this week, might need microfracture surgery for down the line, whatever. That's the worst thing you could hear about a football player to a certain extent, might need microfracture. It's still questionable whether that really works often enough to be something that athletes should undergo. The jury's still way out on whether Jadeveon Clowney, I think, the defensive end for the Texans, had that procedure done. He has not come all the way back. I don't think he's close to as good as he was.
Projected to be, yeah.
Well, exactly. But that's a huge question mark with Miles Jack. That latest health report had to have had a large impact.
Let's bring it back to Chicago, the Bears team. We were talking about what's left. We Entrell Roll, Adrian Amos, but we didn't talk about the corners. Tracy Porter had a huge year last year, kind of a rebound year in spurts, meaning we saw him play well against the Packers on Thanksgiving night. On the other side of the ball, Kyle Fuller, a guy who was drafted in the first round, who everybody was hot on, and he's had sort of I would say, a middling career with the Chicago Bears.
I would say Fuller was better last year. However, he could not hardly have been worse. By certain measures, he was one of the worst cornerbacks in football the season before last. But there was significant improvement there. I do think the Bears, while if you can get a cornerback in the league, you're always going to go get one. You always take more depth. Far more snaps these days than even 5 years ago, where the team is in the nickel. You've got your five defensive backs in the game on virtually every snap. I think there's a good chance that in that second or third round, one of those picks will be a defensive back. Either a cornerback or a safety.
Let's switch to the offensive side of the ball.
They play offense don't they?
Well, one of the interesting things about last season was Jay Cutler had a resurgence under Adam Gase, who's now in Miami as the head coach. But it was a ball control Jay Cutler, not the Jay Cutler we're used to, where he was gunslinging and throwing the ball around or not seeing the linebacker in the flat, which was my favorite Jay Cutler move, where you just threw it right at his chest. That's a Jay Cutler go-to. Everybody, pundits across, Jay Cutler played a great season. He managed the game. We saw a different kind of quarterback. This is the quarterback we want. But at the end of the day, they were still 6-10. Do we see the Chicago Bears excelling in this? Are we seeing the new Chicago Bears with a team that manages the game, and then on the defensive side of the game, we have Leonard Floyd flying all over the ball?
Well, one thing that was so funny last year is the new regime came in, it took over the Bears, and there was that statement, yes, that's the sort of team it's going to be, that this is going to be a more defense-oriented team, or the offense isn't going to lose. We're going to find ways for the offense to not lose games. Then what happens in the draft? The first-round pick is Kevin White. Now, I think everybody agreed that he was value at that pick. He was the most talented guy at that seventh pick. But still, wait a minute. If you're making this change to defense and conservative offense, what are you doing taking a wide receiver with your first pick, the first-round pick? Then, of course, he gets hurt. So we still know what's going to happen with him.
It's like another first-round pick, right?
That's exactly right. But that is. So I think that's why, perhaps, there isn't as much pressure to add to the offense. Although there will be pressure to add a tight end at some point. And they've signed a bunch of guys as offensive linemen, free agents, whether or not any of those guys. I think that's mostly for depth. But anyway, so I think there is that whole element of Kevin White arrives, really. He will make his debut with the Bears this coming season. So perhaps that's
Adam,
an element.
Adam and I talked last year. Adam Hogan and I talked about Kevin White when they were making the decision whether or not to bring him off the PUP list or to get him in the game. You know, and you forget that Kevin White is a big receiver. He's of the Alshon Jeffery, Brandon Marshall variety. So the idea of having White on one end and Alshon Jeffery on the other and be able to play in a slot, that's really good for a quarterback like Jay Cutler, who could just, you know, chuck it up there and let the receiver go get it.
Yeah, let's hope. When you say Cutler chucking it up there, that makes I go cold a little bit. But they certainly, those two are potentially a great receiving duo. And that, but again, it is very tricky because you feel as though there is going to be a certain amount of conflict between wanting to play it a little more conservatively, bringing in these defensive players, feeling as though you've got some playmakers now, and therefore not feeling like you don't have to win it with the offense, but then having these big time wide receivers to potentially air it out to. So,
well, we'll see what happens here. We're going to take a break. We'll get the news, and then we want to come back and get Sam Panionovich on the line. We're waiting to hear Ryan Pace is speaking to the media, and then Leonard Floyd had his press conference, conference call. The NFL draft continues. Then the 21st pick right now was picked. Is DJ Williams? No. They're showing old guys. I'm like, DJ Williams. What? The 21st pick is
for the
Texans, and we'll get you to that just after the break. Here, it's the Download on WGN. Stay with us.
With the Chicago Bears, they're the team to watch. We won't stop until we got the game on lock, and we can't be stopped. Give them something to crush. Give them something to crunch. Give them a team. They go eat them for lunch. Chill. Give something to block. Pulling out all the stops. Let's show the NFL how we rock.
Hey, yo, this is for my Windy City team. Now you scared.
All right. I love the team songs. You know, the rap songs about the certain teams. That's great. Jim Kaufman in studio with me. Justin Kaufman here.
It's no Bear Down Chicago Bears, let's just be clear.
It's the hip-hop version.
Better than Hail to the Redskins, though. So,
yeah.
You know,
the Redskins,
oh, I should have said Hail to the Washington football team.
The Washington football team. The Redskins
Speaking of which, just
picked receiver from TCU,
Dotson. Yes, he's speedy. He's sizable.
Josh Doxson.
He does not resemble a dachshund dog in any way, shape, or form. So.
Well, it's interesting because they traded up, the Texans flipped picks essentially to pick Will Fuller out of Notre Dame, and they swapped a sixth round to get that pick, and then the Redskins pick a receiver. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
And there had been a feeling that there might be a run on receivers. This is a little bit of bad news for our man Laquon Treadwell, one of the Chicago area prospects in the draft, and for a while Treadwell was projected as potentially the top receiver. Unfortunately, his speed numbers have not been great in the 40s that he's run, and there you start to where you really wonder if teams get a little too wrapped up in workouts rather than game tape.
Right.
Boy, it sure looked like Laquon Treadwell had enough game speed to dominate games in the SEC. And so he, the Southwest Suburban roots, by the way. Anyway, so Treadwell is dropping a little bit, but that had been predicted to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, obviously money plays a big role, but when you get into the second half of the first round, do players like a Treadwell, do they, I mean, now you're going to start seeing playoff teams. You know, you're going
to
you're going to start getting the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos and New England Patriots. You know, not a bad place to end up if you drop a couple of spots, because I don't think it works that each pick is weighted. I mean, at a certain point in the NFL, you know, sort of, I guess, union rules. You know, you're not at the point where you're negotiating like you used to for rookie contracts.
That's exactly right. It is all slotted to a large degree. So, Treadwell, of course, there's a feeling he may go next. He may go to the Vikings. The Vikings could certainly use a wide receiver. So that's a possibility. So,
well, we'll see on that. Back to the Chicago Bears. If you're just joining us, the Chicago Bears moved up in the draft to the ninth overall pick. They just moved up to grab Leonard Floyd. He's a outside linebacker. From Georgia, a very fast, very athletic outside linebacker who has tremendous speeds or tremendous skills when it comes to speed and athleticism. Underweight is what I mean. 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", but he only weighs 240 pounds. So that's been.
Well, I think he got up to 248 or maybe 46 or say yes, but it is very much
on his. If you look at, I think it's Pro Football Weekly has said that the frame. He can't support much more weight. That's what they said. They said, you know, so he's not a target or a candidate to beef up 30 pounds.
Well, that's for sure. And he's also 24 years old. And,
he's older, yeah.
You would think if he was going to add weight that perhaps a little more of that process would have occurred before he was 24 years old. So,
all right. Well, let's go to Sam Panionovich. Sam is up at Halas Hall. The Bears general manager Ryan Pace has spoken. Also, Floyd did join on a teleconference. Sam, so everything's happening up there. Tell us a little bit about both.
Well, there seems to be a united front at Halas Hall. That's between the GM, Ryan Pace, and the head coach, John Fox. They were on the same front. They were united. They wanted the draft up, and they wanted the trade up, rather, to draft Leonard Floyd, who they thought was the premier pass rusher on the outside. You don't usually trade up until you're certain. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, they hadn't traded up in the first round since 1996. So they were confident. They saw their man on the board. A couple things fell in different directions. So Floyd was still available. And say what you want about Ryan Pace. This is a boom or bust pick, but if it booms, it's going to be a huge deal.
Well, it reminds me, I mean, I would say, and they're not similar in size, but in speed, Brian Urlacher was a ninth pick overall, that, you know, a converted safety linebacker that a lot of people were kind of like head scratch, like, is he going to fit in? He became one of the biggest linebackers in the history of the Chicago Bears. So you can't go wrong drafting a linebacker in Chicago, right?
No, you can't. And I wouldn't even liken him to Urlacher. In fact, I asked Ryan Pace, I said, how much did John Fox input this pick? Because if you think about where John Fox comes from, he developed Julius Peppers, who was a linebacker defensive end in Carolina, helped develop Von Miller, who was outside defensive end in Denver. So I asked him, what did Coach Fox have to say? Here's what Ryan Pace said.
He's been pounding the table to add these kind of guys for a while now. So, you know, we would talk a lot throughout the season. Hey, Ryan, we got to get off the field on third down. We got to get off the field on third down. We need you guys to help us in that area. And this is the type of player that can help that. So, again, add a major pass rush threat to our defense.
Wow, that's
so there's your
that's
image, right? John Fox pounding on the table.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But Sam, that's a good point. I mean, one of the Bears' weaknesses last season was not being able to stop the drive, was not able to make that play to actually, you know, create a turnover or do something that changed the course of a game. The defense played okay. I mean, they were 6-10, but they need a guy like Floyd to make plays like this, and it seems like they knew this was the guy they wanted from the get-go.
Here were your linebackers last year, game one. McPhee, McClellan, Jones, and Allen. You probably don't know who the last two are. This year, you're looking at McPhee, Trevathan, Freeman, and Floyd. That is a huge upgrade. And in Chicago, they love their linebackers. They spiral this defense, good or bad. It looks like you have some pro-caliber players finally in that linebacker unit, and that's all that you can ask for because it was so porous 2 years back.
Let me ask you about Leonard Floyd. He did a phone conference call. Why is he not in Chicago? And tell us a little bit about that call.
Well, yeah, it's funny you brought that up because he was the first guy that wasn't in Chicago, and lo and behold, the draft is in Chicago.
He
and
was drafted by Chicago.
Yeah. Get him. And they show him hooping and hollering in Georgia with his family. You notice there was a lot of family members, probably like 25, 30 family members.
Right.
He actually said in the conference call that it was easier to stay around the family in Georgia. It was way too expensive. to move everybody up, get them on a plane and get them to Chicago and get hotels. So it was financial concerns. Now you think maybe the agent would have picked it up for Floyd and his immediate family, but right. He wanted to be around everybody. So that's why he stayed in the South.
Quick update on the draft, the 23rd pick. Laquan Treadwell, the Ole Miss wide receiver who has South Suburban roots here in Chicago, is now a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
I covered Laquan Treadwell. I was doing play-by-play for that Crete team when they won the state championship. There was one game, I kid you not, he had like 7 catches for 185 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he also threw a touchdown. So to see a guy like that, come from the Chicagoland area. Lance Lenoir played opposite him. He played at Western, not as, you know, recruited, not as heavily in demand as Laquan Treadwell. But you're absolutely right. To see a Chicago product get drafted in the first round, that's a huge deal. It's a great
kid. He's a big body and could cause trouble in the NFC North, especially for some of the undersized corners
that's not
that
such
are
good
in Chicago.
News.
Not good news that they're going after a guy like that.
Well, going to the Vikings against the against the playing the Bears twice every year. But
so who's going to throw him the ball in Minnesota?
Well, that's the question, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so Sam, I mean, the overall tone of Floyd's conference call, was it, I mean, did he seem like he was together, mature kid? I mean, was he excited to come to Chicago? Anything we need to know from that call?
Well, it was probably one of the worst conference calls in the history of Chicago sports because the house mics for the reporters were way too hot. They were peaking red and Floyd's line was kind of falling in and out. So audio wise, not sexy, but he said everything you would expect a draft pick to say. He's excited to be here. He feels like the coaches are going to bring him in and help him progress. He did mention that Pace and Fox had both talked to him about his frame and that there is so much room for him to add size and muscle and strength. And that's what they loved about him because, like you guys gave his measurables, there's room for weight here. There's room for him to get stronger. Mm-hmm. And the Bears are confident that they can grow him into a superstar outside linebacker that's going to get to the quarterback, bring him down, and get Soldier Field raucous.
Okay, Sam, so the last thought, any talk with the general manager, Ryan Pace, about what the Bears might be leaning towards in the second and third round tomorrow night?
I honestly get the sense, Justin, this is something that Ryan Pace was a part of in New Orleans. They're going to take the best player available. They don't hinge on one guy. They have their board where there are options on the table. And if they have a chance to pounce and take one of those options, as you saw tonight, they moved up to take Leonard Floyd. I imagine they have a gaggle of players they're looking at in rounds 2 through 7. Not to mention he's got 2 extra picks. I believe he's got 8 picks now because they traded the fourth round pick. So he's still got 7 more picks to work with, and I would imagine he's going to fill needs and try and take the best player available to plug in those set holes.
Sam Panjanovich up at Hallis Hall for WGN Radio. Sam, thanks for checking in, bud.
You got it. Take care.
There's your classic. Jim, what do you think? So you're bringing the classic.
Very nice.
Very nice. Jim Kaufman in studio with me. Justin Kaufman here. We're breaking down the NFL draft, the first round here in Chicago, here on WGN Radio. We'll wrap it up here because, you know, we're now to the point where the playoff teams are going to start picking. It's a little bit less sexy of the first round, but it's fascinating to me. Maybe not, as you mentioned, with the concerns about his knee, but Miles Jack is still on the board. Some other guys, the defensive Ragland and Robinson from Alabama, who are both guys at one point who are rumored to be Chicago Bears at the 11, are still on the board.
Yep,
it's surprising to me. I mean, we're getting closer. I mean, you're right. I mean, we're still, 16 picks away from the Bears' second round, where they have the 8. The corner from Houston, William Jackson III, just got picked by the Cincinnati Bengals at the 24th pick in the first round. It's interesting. There's still, like I said, about 15 picks still the Bears are going to pick tomorrow. Tomorrow's the second and third round, and then over the weekend is the rest. Saturday is just
they
the rest
it
of it. So, yep. But what do you expect the Bears to do?
Well, you know, Sam was just talking about how the Bears, he does, when Ryan Pace, it's so funny, there's always the conflict in pre-draft stuff between so many people making their mock drafts about teams filling needs and so many teams saying, we're not filling needs, we're taking the best player available. That's always the line, best player available. I'm always okay with best player available as long as you've done your work in free agency, which I think the Bears had done, and filled some holes. But the thing of it is, with the Bears this year, best player available was okay. It needed to be best defensive player available in the first round. I think the Bears felt that as well.
And let's be fair, best defensive lineman
available. Exactly. Well, front seven, best front seven available. Although I think they did think a little bit about the secondary, et cetera, but I certainly am happy that there was secondary on the.
I mean, Hargrave went right after.
No, they did. They
made their mind up. They were going with the line.
Indeed,
linebacker and defensive lineman.
Right, and in fact, if they hadn't gone for Floyd, I think there was a lot of people who felt as though Sheldon Rankins was a potential. He was the projected pick of a couple of different folks, reporters in town, et cetera. So Rankins, the defensive lineman from Louisville,
got picked up pretty quick.
He was not many picks after the Bears. But anyway, so first round. Best defensive player available was what I had hoped the mindset would be. That is what the mindset was. Second round, more flexibility. We talked about the team. I think the team badly needs another tight end.
Second round picks. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think in the history of the Chicago Bears. I mean, there's a lot of great second round picks.
Jeffrey, Matt Forte, of course, yes. In fact, they've had more success the last 10 years in second round than they've had in the first round to a certain extent. So
I mean, do you see them? I mean, the idea in the second, third round, even tomorrow, is a very important time for the Chicago Bears because you're looking at, if they don't move up, two players who are going to have an impact, who will be on the field, should be in a starting role come September.
So the pressure is on, and I think the Bears can still make a pretty good argument that there are needs in a number of places, and therefore they maintain that certain amount of flexibility. I think they probably won't be taking a linebacker, but I'll tell you, they can make a case for taking somebody in virtually any other position group.
Jim, let me ask you about the Chicago Bears. I mean, the rookie class last season, jury's still out, but there were some great. I mean, Kevin White didn't play, so it was
exactly
hard. But you did have Jeremy Langford, who was showed enough to take Matt Forte's job, and you also saw some play from the safety position, Amos. But the big one was a second round pick last year, Eddie Goldman, who's the nose tackle essentially in this 3-4.
Big one in more ways than one. Yeah.
And he looked to come on at the second half of the season. Do we expect big things out of Eddie Goldman moving forward?
I think we do, and I think Akeem Hicks coming in next to him, it's great because you've got a couple of space eaters. You got a couple of just powerful human beings, and that's just you need a couple of guys like that. If you're only going to have three guys in your offensive line, if you're going to run that 3-4, you need those guys. So yes, I think Eddie Goldman has a lot of potential, and you remember, of course, the teamwork part of it. It's amazing how much better guys are if they have better players with them, or better guys behind them, etc. So I think Goldman has a chance to be even better with better players around him. So
I got to ask you, I mean, I guess we're beating around the bush, but Leonard Floyd, do you like him or no?
Yes, I'll say thumbs up, and I do like the Bears going ahead and being aggressive and going to get the guy they really wanted. Of course, you have to have some concerns. It's interesting. Sam seemed more optimistic about adding weight than some of the other folks we have. Mm-hmm. I think more optimistic than Adam had been. But hey, let's go ahead and take this guy. I think, like I said, upside on this guy is very exciting, and let's enjoy that on draft night.
I like that. It's draft night. And to be honest, I mean, as we mentioned, Brian Urlacher and Devin Hester and Lance Briggs to a certain extent, and even Charles Tillman coming out. I mean, there was some fun when these players came out. I mean, and you saw them have great rookie seasons. I'm excited when a guy comes off the board who has athleticism that is unparalleled. So to me, I think it's an upside, and we'll obviously the judge will be what happens on the field.
Exactly, and I always say, if you're not optimistic during the offseason, maybe sports fandom isn't the right thing for you. I mean, what the heck? If you can't get excited about it, look, there's plenty of time for reality down the road a ways.
I mean, it will all become
clear. Yeah, that's right. Back a ways, we were 6-10. Down the road, reality hits, and it'll probably bite. But for now, let's enjoy the optimism of the offseason.
Still a Chicago Bears team led by Jay Cutler, right?
Indeed it is.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of time for complaints about that. Jim Kaufman is a columnist at BeachwoodReporter.com. Thanks, Jim, for coming in and spending some time breaking it down. We appreciate it.
Woo!
That was fun.
Wow.
Wow, I was right. I haven't done that in a long 3 hours of talking draft. What do you think? What do you think, Rob? Leonard Floyd, you like him?
Why not? Give him a shot.
Yeah. Man,
you know, I'm gonna go with what Hoag said because he's in deep with this stuff, and I'll take him for his expertise. And yeah, sure, let's go for it.
Yeah, I like it, and it's interesting because you know we're getting closer to the end of the round with the 26th pick. The Denver Broncos are on the clock, and they're bringing the pick to the stage, but. Yeah, we're almost done here, and there's still a lot of great players, or at least names that are recognizable.
Well, Laremy Tunsil was finally taken off
the board. Finally, yeah. Exactly.
Welcome to Miami. That'll be good for him. There won't be any problems there.
No, it's a small, sleepy town.
Sure.
They're in bed in Miami by 8 o'clock.
A little hamlet down there. Yeah.
Well, let's see what the Broncos are. They're doing the let's talk to the youngsters before they do it, but... the Broncos are on the clock here at 26. I guess it doesn't really matter.
I like what Adam Hoag said about the Bears' draft choice, the fact that he's going to fit into the system that they have currently versus McClellan.
Vic Fangio, you know, he made his name in San Francisco with a bunch of great linebackers who flew around and made a statement on the defensive side. I mean, remember those teams with Colin Kaepernick, and it was Willis and Brooks and the guy who tore his knee on the goal line, I forgot that guy's name, but they that was what they were all about. Wow, big pick, 26th pick in the first round. The Denver Broncos pick Paxton Lynch, quarterback out of Memphis. Can we be seeing a new quarterback in Denver? There was a lot of speculation about who they were going to go with this year. Mark Sanchez is there. There were talks of trades for Colin Kaepernick, but they go with Paxton Lynch. In the first round for the future of the franchise, the Denver Broncos. How about that, huh?
Well, what's his name? Went to Houston, right, for big bucks?
Yeah.
The guy who was backing up
right.
Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Brock Osweiler. That's interesting. But you know what? In my mind, I'd rather have Paxton Lynch, who's unproven, rookie out of Memphis, who has huge upside, than Brock Osweiler. Played for a couple weeks. You know, they beat the Bears. Remember, the Broncos beat the Bears this season, but it wasn't. The Bears should have won that game. Osweiler was not impressive whatsoever.
Listen to their names. Paxton Lynch. What do you do? I'm an NFL quarterback. Well, of course you are. Your name is Paxton Lynch. Oh, what's your name? Brock Osweiler. What do you do? I'm an NFL quarterback. Well, of course you are.
Yeah, right. That's what you do. That's great.